Ladies and gentlemen, I call the April 20th regular meeting for the Fluvin County Board of Supervisors to order. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. All righty. Do we have an adoption, any changes to the agenda?
No, I just have one, Mr. Chair. So VDOT is on here twice, and in order to kind of get VDOT, VDOT has a presentation and a quarterly update, but they're also on here for an action matter under the secondary six-year plan.
After what happened the last time, I say we move H on up there with that.
Yeah, well, we have a new VDOT representative. So
that's okay. The last one paid the dues.
Yes. So we can move H just kind of right
get
after.
Get both of them
H.
done?
Yeah.
At the same time?
Yep.
Everybody okay with that?
Yep.
All right. Do we have adoption of the agenda?
I move that we adopt the agenda with the moving of two events.
All righty. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion is made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Ms. Eager. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Mr. Dalton.
Yep. Mr. Chair, members of the board, just have a few things to report this evening. Let's see here. So one, we have a new county employee that started April 11th. John Gold started in the 911 center as a communications officer. Glad to have him aboard. And like I said, we certainly looking forward to having his expertise on staff. Let me move this out of here, out of the way too. Also, we have a special recognition a little bit. So Operations Captain Sean Peterson graduated from the 281st session of the FBI's National Academy on March 17th. The 281st session was attended by 257 law enforcement executives. Captain Peterson is the second person in the history of the Fluvin Sheriff's Office to be selected for the FBI National Academy. It was a 10-week professional course studying U.S. international law enforcement, the course of study for U.S. and international law enforcement managers. And again, we're proud to have two county staff that have been through this FBI Academy, so it's a great benefit to Fluvin. So congratulations.
What's that? Who's the other one?
I believe it was Aaron Hurd. Aaron Hurd went through it before.
And I'll say, so many officers are getting frustrated in leading service. For him to die, that he'd been, I have to say kudos to him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and this Harris noted, maybe it was Major Wells. I'm not sure if it was Hurd or Wells. I can't remember.
I bet I'm going to get a text.
Yes. Let's see here. So the Pleasant Grove House received its certificate and is now a certified museum and visitor center, certified tourist information center. There was a seminar that was held in Halifax on March 30th, and so the county was presented our certificate as a certified destination center for a museum and visitor center. The annual Easter egg hunt was held this past Saturday, April 16th, at 10 a.m. promptly. And if you weren't there, and you weren't there much long after, Easter eggs were in short order at that point. The Easter egg hunt lasted approximately 9 minutes with over 300 youth hunting eggs. And I've got some staff members that attended, and they can certainly verify that information. They had four hunt zones with a total of 7,000 eggs spread throughout, with one golden egg in each zone. Infants 1 to 3, there's 1,500 eggs. 4 to 6 years old, 2,000 eggs. 7 to 9, 2,000 eggs. And 10 to 12, 1,500 eggs. Again, a big special thank you to the high school, SGA, and the FUMA Interact Club who assisted with the event, and you can see some pictures of kids scrambling furious.
Well, I mean, just put it in perspective. Just under six, just under 1,000 eggs, or just over 1,000 eggs per minute.
Yep.
Or just under 1,000 yep. eggs per minute, yeah.
It's amazing that they need to be egged on.
Also, this Saturday, April 23rd, from 10 a.m. to noon, we'll be having the Flumana County Earth Day tire drop-off at Pleasant Grove Park. The event will be taking place in the horse trailer parking area. If you drive by there, you'll probably see some trailers parked out there. Again, you must present a valid Flumana County residency proof. 12 tires only per Flumana resident, have to be off rims, and no hazardous waste collection or anything this year.
I have one question.
Sure.
I'm not trying to poke, but tractor tires? Are we taking tractor tires? I remember somebody loaded up a tractor tire one time.
No. No tractor tires, no.
No tractor tires.
Yeah, there we go.
We will have that with us.
Yeah, 12 vehicles per, no tractor tires, no
vehicle tires. Okay, there it is.
Yes.
And I just had to have some fun with Ms.
Yeah.
Andrew, just
no commercial vehicles, moving trucks or trailers or anything like that. So, coming up Saturday, April 30th at Pleasant Grove Park, there will be a drive-through rabies vaccination clinic. Cost is $10. It'll be from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. noon. Again, there's a pre-registration form for those that are interested. It can be picked up at the Flumana SPCA, or they can go to the website or scan the QR code to register. Vehicles must remain vehicles, and dogs must be on leashes. Cats must be in individual carriers. Okay, and I've got clarification. Major Wells was the first one.
I was thinking it was him. I went
through the FBI for the FBI Academy, so I apologize to Major Wells. Meals on Wheels is accepting new clients. There's no age requirement, and most clients do not pay for meals. Those that do not have the means or wish to pay for the meals, there's a sliding scale available. Anyone wanting more information, they can call 434-589-1685. And then every year, millions of Americans are affected by crime. Many of them will need ongoing care and resources. So Sherry Stater, the victim witness manager for the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, brought this to our attention. April 24th through 30th is National Crime Victims' Rights Week. It's a time to celebrate the progress achieved and raise awareness of victims' rights and services. The Flumana Victim Witness Assistance Program is always ready to help victims of crimes. Anyone needing more information can call their office. Their office is 434-591-1985, and you can learn how you can help someone that may need necessary help. And again, just some upcoming meetings. We had talked about doing the board retreat, but again, we were talking about April 30th, but we're still trying to kind of work some dates out with someone to act as a facilitator. So I would say, unless the board is really dead set on keeping that April 30th, I think having a facilitator would be a good value for the retreat. I think it would be just helpful from a staff standpoint too. And so we're trying to work out some different dates with them. So if the board's fine with that, we can remove the April 30th unless the board wants to stay pat with that. But for upcoming meetings, again, we only have a meeting on here for April 27th. That's a to be determined, assuming we don't adopt the budget tonight. I'm gonna knock on wood and hope that we do. But if not, we have a backup date set for April 27th. And then after that, some of our upcoming meetings, regular meetings, we have May 4th at 5 p.m. and May 18th at 7 p.m. And I'd be happy to answer any questions for the board.
So do we want a moderator, or do we want to postpone to get one?
I would.
don't think that would be a bad thing.
I'm fine.
I'm fine, anyway.
See you. Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none, we'll now thank Mr. Dahl.
Nope, nothing more from you, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Stop signing for the moment. All right, hearing none, now we'll open the first round of public comments. I'll ask folks to step to the podium. Please state your name, address. Keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wish to speak at this time?
Morning, Supervisors, or good evening, Supervisors. Rudy Garcia, 802 Ravana Woods Drive, Fort Union, Virginia. I'm here tonight to talk to you in my capacity as the chair of the Economic Development Authority. A little bit over a year ago, our previous chair, Curtis Putnam, our current co-chair, Valerie Palamountain, and our current secretary, Lois Mastro, worked to get a grant from the Community Area Foundation of Charlottesville, and we were awarded a $10,000 grant to work with small businesses, small and minority-owned businesses who were distressed in the community. We sponsored 14 small businesses to attend the Community Investment Collaborative over two sessions, one in the spring, one in the fall, and we graduated all 14 of them. We had a little bit of money left over, and so in consultation with the Small Business Development Centers, Rebecca Haydock, Jennifer from your staff, and Stephen Davis of the Community Investment Collaborative, we decided that we would do something a little bit different for the remainder of the money. So what we did was we held the first ever pitch contest here in Flavanna County. We put together a package that was $8,000 in first and second place money, and then we had an additional $3,000 that was afforded by the Community Investment Collaborative. 10 businesses said they wanted to compete in that competition, which included an 8-hour training session by the Central Virginia Small Business Development Center. Only 5 businesses actually showed up and completed that training course. At the end of that course, they did a 10-minute presentation at the Lyman's Training Center, where two of your own supervisors were our judges, Ms. Moselle Booker and Mr. Chris Fairchild. Thank you both again for doing that. And Shannon Beach from the Community Investment Collaborative was the third judge. Sweetheart Emporium's Eric Mitchell was awarded the $5,000 prize, and Eric, AG of AG's Catering, was awarded the second prize. The other three businesses, Hands-On Homes, Javon Hearns, and Carolyn Herbert of Herbert's Wine Jelly, and Nina Monroe of Elephant's Trunk were all awarded the opportunity for an additional $1,000 and a forgivable loan from the CIC. So why is that important? It's important because we suspected that there was a need for small businesses to be afforded the opportunity to attend training so that they could do better in their businesses. This suspicion came true and was verified when we had 14 businesses take part in this. Excuse me. When we had 14 businesses take part in the Community Investment Collaborative. Why is it important? Because those 14 businesses are now going to be better off and are going to contribute more to the county than they would have if they had not attended that course. It was only $10,000. What can we do to help the next 14 businesses that need the opportunity to attend training and the opportunity to learn a little bit more about how to be better business people? So I just wanted to throw that out here tonight as you guys are struggling to adopt the budget. Keep in mind how important your investment in economic development is, and understand that when you make an investment in economic development, it comes back in spades for the county. Businesses stay in Flavanna County. Businesses buy stuff in Flavanna County. Businesses hire people in Flavanna County. They also pay business taxes in Fluvanna County. So please, as you deliberate over the adoption of the budget, understand that a small amount of money can make a huge impact in the small business community in Fluvanna County. And I just ask that you keep that in mind and do due consideration. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this time? I see none in the gallery. So, Ms. Harris, do you have anyone online?
No one is coming off of mute or raising their hand.
Okay, seeing or hearing none, I will now close the first round of public comment. We have no public hearing, so first up for action matters in A, authorization to advertise a public hearing for the VDOT Secondary Six-Year Plan, Scott Thornton, VDOT Residency Administrator.
Dean Chairman, board members, so let me introduce myself again. I'm Scott Thornton, the new VDOT Residency Administrator for Louisa. I've been here a little over a month now, so glad to be here, and I've met a few people, so I'm still very much learning my way around, but I hope to get to talk to each one of y'all individually in the future. A little history about me: I came from Richmond District VDOT. I've been with VDOT now about 6 years. A lot of experience in the construction and maintenance side of the house, so I believe you have all my contact information, correct? I don't know if it's been passed along, but I'll throw this out. If you need to contact me for anything, just shoot me an email, phone call, and I'd be happy to talk to anybody about that.
Yeah, I can pass around Mr. Thornton's contact information too.
So, moving forward with secondary six-year plan. So this year's plan, does everybody have copies of the plan from the packet?
It was in the packet. Yeah.
Okay. So for what we're looking at is FY 2028, you've got $80,299 in telefee money and $11,394 in the district grant unpaid. Right now, both of those are being plugged into balance entry accounts for the future unpaid roads funds for locations to be yet to be determined, as well as countywide traffic services for various locations. All your other projects are still being funded in the plan, so if there were any other projects you wanted to add, or if the board wanted to just adopt the plan as is and move forward with advertising for public hearing, we can do that as well.
And the board,
yeah, any questions or concerns from your board? You good with the way the plan is? You can grab your pen. I think you've bethled a few things to work on. But so we're all in agreement with the plan. All right. Oh, man. All right. Hearing no other discussion from the board, do we have a motion?
I have the Board of Supervisors authorize staff to advertise for a public hearing regarding the Virginia Department of Transportation secondary six-year plan.
Second.
Now, a motion made by Ms. Eaker, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Now, we had an accident the other day in the 1,000 block of Covered Bridge Road over in Kenstore. It's a really sharp turn, and if you don't know it's there, you just literally drive right off of it, and that kind of happened to this fellow. So if we could get some kind of, it used to be a sign up with arrow marking it, but it got knocked down and never got put back up.
Mr. Chairman,
okay.
Maybe you all have noticed when you come right 15 coming into the town of Palmyra, when you pass Judge Talley's house, there is a deep fall off with no guardrail or anything.
Well, which way?
Coming south
after you come by school board office and come by Judge Talley's.
When you go back,
trust me, driving a school bus by then makes you think about it. It's about a 10-foot drive. It's about a 10-foot drive.
There's new paving there, too.
I know.
I don't know if you can put a guardrail on it. I think that's what
I don't think there was one before.
No, there's never been one.
Did you say it's about 10-foot drop-off? I'll go look at it again myself.
It's pretty significant.
I think it is. Like I said, you know, I drive a school bus by there sometimes, and it makes you think that if somebody were to run you off the road right there, it would not be a happy ride.
I'm certainly looking into that.
Anyone else?
Well, and Scott, thank you for replying to me today. And just to say it from the board, one of the things I want to meet you about is out at where Garden Lane comes into 53.
Which one's Garden Lane?
That's where Multiple Monkeys.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a lot of concerns from both business owners back down what's a prescriptive easement, not a full-blown road, where that development is going. And there's a whole slew of concerns around it from the retirement community and so on. And so I'd just like to meet you out there, maybe with a couple of the citizens and everybody brainstorm.
It's not a lot of line of sight when you look back to the west. Not a lot of line of sight when you look back
pretty
to the
bad.
West.
Yeah.
Are you talking about where the monkey mulch
and
the new dentist?
Yeah.
Because that sign, the dentist's sign is
really
blocking. It's probably
the
wrong space.
Yeah, if you're living, as Ms. Booker noted, if you're leaving Garden Lane 2 and you want to look to the left, there's a sign and there's some trees or some shrubbery right there too. Unless you're like almost with your nose hanging out in the road, I mean, you've got to really inch out there to be able to see going to the left, see if cars are coming too. So,
and I met with Leo, the dentist, today. I met with him. I took my head back and we had a little conversation after. Then I went to Mulch Monkeys, and he says that all his piles are within the setback, and I forget how many feet that is. And but anyway, they're interested in participating too, so I'll contact you tomorrow and set a time.
Okay.
And I don't remember if we discussed since I've been on here, but just thinking of what citizens are saying to me. At 619, where 619 comes into 53, all that traffic is coming out of 53. You probably don't know what's happening. You're rotating.
I'm still learning the routes. So.
That's one we've had many conversations with everyone that's come here about that, about doing something with that, because it is. I fear every time I drive through that,
we met with myself and Mr. Miles, met with Mr. Thornton, Stacy Landry, and Bethel before she left, and we talked about some upcoming things that are going on, and Brewerton Lake Road was one of them, and trying to find some different funding streams or some different ways to potentially do some traffic improvements at that area, because it's definitely one. It's a really busy intersection, and it's there's lots of challenges.
Doesn't matter which direction you're coming from.
Yeah.
It's not good.
You know, as in Eric's office, y'all might already know this, but as in his office, I don't know, a couple months ago, he mentioned that from Fort Union to get to Charlottesville, the quickest way is to go up 6 back through that way and come out on 619. I said,
no, I don't just come that way. I go all the way around.
Yeah, well, okay. I put it in Google Maps
thing
there, and that's the quickest way.
Well, I'll just tell you this much. I've had a week where I was picking the kid up that lived on that road before school, and we would sit at the end of her driveway for possibly 5 minutes waiting for the opportunity just to get out and take a left turn or a right turn. She's right on Hayden Martin, right there near Route 6, about a quarter mile from Route 6. It is
very transparent. It's a thoroughfare with a lot of concern there.
Yeah, again, if you get people that are potentially coming from Buckingham going into Charlottesville from this end, that's going to be your cut.
Buckingham area.
Yep.
I know y'all put your traffic studies out there and you do them for the whole day. I bet you if you did one from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, it would be a ridiculous number coming through there.
I think they did do...
Just a town-wide?
I think they did do some type of traffic study at Ruerton Lake Road, or I don't know what at what points, if it was on 53 or Ruerton Lake, but there was something done. So, like I said, go back and definitely check the traffic data there.
Yeah. So, before she left, now that we're recalling that, Bethel did send something back to have them go back and look at rush hour volumes versus looking at it as a whole day.
Yeah. Correct.
Type of,
so. You might go from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock Well, 3 o'clock.
With a lower, school, with a lower
when school, volume. When school lets out, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's many times I see 10 cars stacked up on the roofs and Lake Road trying to go some way on 53.
Any others? All right. Now we can move on with H. And we read move BDOT quarterly update. Anything else you wanted to add, Mr.?
So I did want to just touch on a few things. I didn't want to read through everything that's in your board packet, so I did want to update y'all a little bit on the debris cleanup from January 3rd storm. So the interstate work is now completed with the pickup. Obviously, everybody's seen the big debris pile at the rest area, right? So they're still working on taking that away to get shipped. We had initially estimated the department, it was going to be about total in the Culpeper District would be about 600,000 yards. Then they upped the estimate to 800,000 yards. As of last Saturday, it was up over 800,000 yards at around 815, and that was just finishing up the interstates. Fluvanna had approximately about 100,000 cubic yards, but now that they're off the interstate, we'll see more crews going into the counties to assist with our VDOT crews to start getting the rest of this debris picked up. The target is to have everything up by June.
With all this, June,
yes. Whether that's the beginning of June or the end of June, I think opinions vary. So I'll just say June.
Well, the storm happened in January, and we're sitting here in the end of April.
Yeah,
it's a major effort.
So it's quite a bit. But that all being said, crews are getting back to their regular maintenance work. So we are planning to start with our mowing contractors set to start next month. So we'll start seeing crews out doing some letter pickup in advance of the mow, with the target of the first cut being completed by Memorial Day. Additionally, the schedule work contracts were released start in April, so a lot of that work, surface treatment and things like that, will be starting here in the next coming months as well. So, and with that, that's my update. Does anybody have anything else?
Now, here's my question for you with the debris pickup. Is Palmyra handling most of Fluvanna County, and then Zions Crossroads in charge of overseeing the debris pickup for their area?
For debris or litter?
Debris.
It's kind of a group effort. So what the area headquarters have done is we've mapped out areas that the interstate crews, the contractor that we're using, they're primarily focused on the primary routes and high volume secondaries. The area headquarters are going through, and it's one residency, so for as far as I'm concerned, the area headquarters can go wherever I need them to go.
My biggest concern is I drive the bus through Fort Kenny. I've seen them there. We've seen them in Troy. I haven't seen anybody in the Kinstor area, and we got debris really close to roads. Oh, I'll tell you one. I'm sorry, this is actually Louisa County. Roundabout in 250 Street Shop there, I think. As soon as you get off of 250 onto Roundabout Road, there's a 24-inch oak, and I guarantee you it's not 6 inches off the edge of the road where somebody just, fire department came through and cut it off. We drove by to Easter Sunday and saw that thing. If somebody comes through there and gets run off the road or is under the weather, it hits that thing, it's about 3 foot off the ground. It would not be good. So just, somebody may have taken care of it since then, because we're Wednesday, and that was Sunday. And that was something that was new, that hadn't been here in a while.
Okay.
Yeah, the big old oak hanging out there. That would not be
so you funny. Say it looked fairly new, like it hadn't been there that long?
I haven't noticed it. My wife noticed it, I wouldn't have noticed the darn thing.
So how the debris contractor's working is they have a cut crew that goes out in front of them, and they're cutting hangers, leaners, things like that.
This might be one, you might want to get one of your guys out there just to cut it off 3 feet and get it away from the road.
I understand.
I mean, it was right on the edge of the highway, and just the right height.
250 on the roundabout road. Mm-hmm. 250 going on the roundabout road.
Yeah, as soon as you turn on the roundabout, it's right there on your right. I'm sorry, I know I'm rambling on that.
No, sir. Blue
band, but that's just a danger. Okay. All right, anyone else? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming out. All right, next up is B, FY22 American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA funds allocation, Mr. Dawes.
There's a lot of information here, but I'm just going to try and zip through it. Like I said, we talked a little bit about it last week. Again, the American Rescue Plan Act was signed into law by the President of the United States on March 11, 2021. It provides funding to states and local governments through the Coronavirus State Fiscal Recovery Fund. In early May 2021, the Treasury published what was called the interim final rule at that time. And since that place, the final rule was finally published and then takes effect on April 1st, 2022. And again, just funding is allocated for support urgent COVID response, replace lost public sector revenue, support immediate economic stabilization for households and businesses, and address systemic public health and economic challenges. The fundings provide localities some really good flexibility to do some things that and provide services that maybe we normally wouldn't be able to do. The funds also deliver much needed capital funding to do investments in water, sewer, broadband infrastructure. And the board has kind of already hasn't taken a formal vote, but that there's some of that in there by allowing some funding and a grant application through Firefly, Dominion Energy, and kind of to cover the Fork Union area of the county that is non-Firefly area. So in early May 2021, as I said, the Treasury published the interim final rule. The interim final rule, and then the final rule takes effect. Again, our auditors, as I spoke about last meeting, the biggest change between the interim final rule and the final rule is, it allows a standard allowance of up to $10 million for revenue loss. And basically what that means is prior, there was this formula you had to go through to really kind of determine and show that there's revenue loss. Now they just basically say, localities, if you're receiving less than $10 million, you can claim as $10 million or up to what your allocation is as revenue loss. And again, remember, these funds go throughout some years to come. Funds received for revenue loss should only be used for government services. Government services is the most flexible eligible use category. And accordingly, as our auditors were stating, they were encouraging localities to consider using the revenue loss provision under the final rule. And the election would need to be reported basically by the end of this month, April 2022. So we've got some motions in here for the board to kind of take the remaining allocations and put it into some categories for the rest of the funding, which provides some flexibility for the board as we go. And I'll kind of show you some of the dates and all that. Just kind of looking at the funding again, the county is getting in total just under roughly $5.3 million. We received a little over 2.6 of it in June of last year. We're going to get our second half, the 2.6 June of this year. And again, the funds are to be used starting March 3rd, 2021. And they have to be committed by December 31st, 2024, with a little bit of a distinction. So if you have a contract in place by December 31st, 2024, that means it's obligated. You still have up to 2 years to basically spend the funds. So there is a good amount of time that we still have. Just a little bit on the history and the balance. So previously, up to date, as I said, the county received a little over $2.6 million. The board has already approved $558,000 for projects already. So that brings us kind of currently, as we stand right now, of a balance of just under $2.1 million. And again, after we receive that second batch in June of this year, that'll now bring our kind of balance up to $4.7 million. As I stated before, in August 18th, 2021, the board approved the Firefly fiber broadband VADI grant submission. And at that time, the board had indicated that they wanted to use ARPA funds towards that match, because there is a county match for that, which was $601,500. And again, this is to really bring broadband to the unserved and underserved areas of the Fork Union District. So again, this is certainly, broadband is certainly an allowable use under ARPA. So if the board allocates the $6.1 million to the previous amount, that now brings our balance down to 4.1. And then finally, as I discussed last week and today, if we say we want to take that last remaining amount and apply it to revenue loss, the board has a lot more flexibility to use those funds towards government services. As we spoke about at the last meeting, it was very specific in the final rule that you can use it for purchasing a fire rescue apparatus, sheriff's vehicles, and at the last board meeting, as part of the budget, we had put in $1.8 million of the ARPA funds towards that, which basically helps the county keep some fund balance back in place there for other uses and stuff. So again, this is just kind of a chart, just kind of showing you what I explained. Again, the 2.6, we allocated 558, so that brings us down to currently 2,090,000. And in your board package, there's an ARPA balance memo. That's what you see. And again, with that 2 million plus the other 2.6 we get, that brings us to 4.7. And then with that 4.7, if you allocate the 601,000 formally at this point, that leaves us with 4.1. And then if the board says we want to use that 4.1 for its revenue loss, between now and December 31st, 2024, that'll provide the board with a lot of flexibility to use it for, if next fiscal year, if you want to use it for fire rescue apparatus or any other things, there's a lot of flexibility. As it says, you have to use it for government services, and government services is a very broad brushstroke of what you can use those funds for. So again, I'm happy to answer any questions for the board or anything like that. The one caveat I'll say to this is, when we originally got this money, I always thought it would be a good benefit to use it towards some type of, we do have some water and sewer infrastructure needs, mostly sewer infrastructure needs, so I think there would be a good use of the funds for that. But if you think about it this way, is we right now, we know we have things that we have to fund. We know we have to replace fire rescue apparatus, sheriff's vehicles year after year. So if you just apply it to those right then and there, and you're saving your fund balance kind of back from having to spend it on those things, having that fund balance down the road can allow the county to do some things, whether it's from an infrastructure standpoint, or it just provides a lot of other flexibility as we go down the road too by having a healthy fund balance. But I'm happy to answer any questions or any other thoughts the board has on this.
I would just say I agree that our fund balance is super flexible.
Yeah.
I noticed in the accounts payable report, mm-hmm. number 908 to 919, those are the cost of the equipment that we ordered for the fire rescue. And
yes.
And it's a sizable amount. Should we take a look at that to see if that should be used?
The only downfall is we already took out debt proceeds for that, so it's not like we can necessarily, we can't just kind of, can't go back on it at this point. So for a lack of better words, the ship has sailed on that a little bit. So if we hadn't of done that and committed to that long ago, yeah, potentially we could have. But again, I think down the road there will certainly be additional uses for these funds. And again, as I said, if you go back to here, we're saying we're going to use this $4.1 million towards revenue loss. At the last board meeting, the board already said, let's use 1.8 of that 4.1 towards the CIP. So, we're already down to about, 2.1 million left of the kind of the revenue loss funds. And we have, roughly 2.5 years to still utilize those funds for something else.
Mm-hmm. We'll make it useful.
With the debt funding that we got, I think it's 1.3.
Yeah, the interest rates we got on that, certainly, money, you know, not taking out debt is always cheaper, but I mean the debt we took out on those, I mean we're in the 1% range, far below inflation, and you know we got great deals on all that debt that the board
can. And we can use that later instead of taking debt later when we might have to get it at 4 or 5%.
You know, rates are going to go up, so having that flexibility and having the fund balance kind of in place when rates go up will just be a benefit for the county.
All righty. Any other questions for Mr. Dahl? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the FY22 American Rescue Plan Act ARPA funding to the following allocation categories: $601,500 for broadband Firefly broadband value grant, $4,137,070 for revenue loss government services.
I'll second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Fairchild. Slash we. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Next up is C, Fiscal Year 2023 Operations Budget and Tax Rate. Ms. Melton?
And I told Ms. Melton she can phone a friend if she needs to.
I always have a phone a friend. So this evening, I just wanted to bring before you just a brief overview of where we are with the budget. So the budget total is $98,029,405. The real estate tax rate is $0.87, which is a decrease this year, which results in a decrease of 1.58% for the average homeowner. We had a 65-cent decrease in the personal property tax rate, which drops us from $4.35 to $3.70 per 100 of the assessed value. We had no change to the business and public utility personal property tax rates. That remains at $2.90. And no change to the machinery and tools tax rate, which remains at $1.90. Next slide, please. So just wanted to bring before you some highlights. We had an overall decrease in county expenditures by $15 million, which is a 13.2% decrease from the FY22 amended budget. Our largest decreases are capital improvement plan, which is $21.1 million from FY22, and debt service is down $543,000. Our largest increases for FY23 were the schools at $5 million, with a $4 million offset by state and federal, and a $1 million county contribution. We had a sheriff's office increase of $249,000, where we funded 2.5 deputy positions. An E911 at $220,000 with two positions to finalize the EMD emergency medical dispatch implementation and radio replacement. Fire and rescue was a $161,000 increase for ops and maintenance contracts, and facilities at $120,000 with one new position for a fleet apprentice and an ops increase. And convenience center at $120,000 to convert a part-time position to a full-time position, and we had some site improvements and equipment. We have COLA, comp study, and health insurance. We are sitting at $550,000 with a 5% COLA for staff, with $154,000 offset by state and federal. We have $356,000 for the comp study implementation, and $179,000 for the health insurance increase. Next slide, please. And this is just an overview of the positions that were funded for FY23, with one not being included in the budget this year.
We know what he's doing.
Very nice distraction. And that's all I have this evening.
All righty. Any questions or comments from the board?
Great budget.
All right. Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I have some discussion on the budget. A lot of things have happened since we went to the rate that we were at. And my 32 years of dealing with this Board of Supervisors and business, my husband and my years included, we have never had as much of a revenue as we have had this time. The increase plus, our commission also said there's a possibility of making some more revenue. And I just feel like we ought to drop the what we have here and drop another penny for on the real estate taxes, and I would even want to drop some off the personal property taxes. The other thing is, I remember a couple weeks ago I asked Eric to pull up the nonprofits. I have a relationship with nonprofits because those are the organizations that do a great deal to help our citizens, and they stand before us once a year, they give their reports, and they tell us what they do. The thing that really pushed me is the fact that I've been working with a gentleman who lives in a trailer with no sewage and no running water. Been working with the two people in the community, and we're going to help him. But Blue Mountain and Louisa Housing, you know, the people who are going to come forward and help them put the septic system and the water in the right place. And they I'm just using this one nonprofit, and I think they asked for $25,000, and we did not appropriate that, although they pay us probably more taxes of the homes that we own here. They are the ones who come forward and do all those repairs. I don't know, I would love to see the nonprofits fully funded. Why? Because when the COVID hit us, those people's work did not stop one minute. They put the PPEs on, they went into homes, they did everything. I don't think a lot of them asked for a whole lot. Now, the other thing is transportation. I know Joint did not ask for, they cut their request by about 12,000. I know that Mrs. Eager has brought up several times elderly people who can't get to the doctor. We don't have a lot of doctors here, and a lot of people have to go into UVA or Martha Jefferson. We don't have, we need to be working with Joint to try to get some way that we can help people get into the doctor. I've been transporting a lady who is on the verge of losing her sight because she's diabetic and didn't take care of her eyes. We have someone here in the county that will transport, and I think he's added another vehicle, but it's an average charge of at least $60 just to get someone to Charlottesville and get that kind of care. Now, I realize that if we make any changes, that we would have to go into fund balance in order to bring that amount forward. And then I said to myself, Moselle, what is our mission? And I had to go back to find it. I had to search for our mission. We have a mission, I guess we ought to know it by heart. I should know it by heart. Our mission is committed to providing an excellent quality of life for our citizens and businesses through the delivery of competitive public services and programs. That's our mission. We need to have it somewhere. We need to be reminded of it. And our vision is Urbana County, and we're the heart of Central Virginia and the gateway of the future. Great place to live, learn, work, and play. So I have not figured up anything in my head. I have not said how much is this going to charge if we do any changes to real estate or personal property, or do we, if we do anything for nonprofits. I don't know what that entails, but I just feel like after these 2.5 years of what everyone has gone through, and that we have additional revenue, that we should give back to the citizens. It's, and we have given some. I just don't think it's enough. So I guess you're saying, why didn't she say something last week? Sometimes things hit you in different ways. And so even if you don't move in any direction, I've had the opportunity to speak what's on my mind, my heart, and so forth. I think we need to dig a little bit deeper sometimes to see that we are looking at all citizens. We can't meet the needs of everybody, but when we have an opportunity to do that, I think we should at least try to do it. So the first thing you hear is, well, will we be able to sustain this? Will we have to go up on the tax rate next year? Maybe we will. Well, let's make next year take care of itself. So that's my speech. And I'm really appreciative.
Appreciate what?
Thank you all for listening.
Well, the first thing I want to tell you is, with the gentleman with the no plumbing, that's CERCAP. That's what they do.
We need to get that
gentleman in touch with CERCAP, because that's what they're looking for, is plumbing and sewer.
Yeah, but you don't know how difficult it is with CERCAP.
Yes,
we got
ma'am.
Some close
it's difficult with everybody.
I'm not worried about that.
And that's what I talked about. That's why I talked about last week only doing $200,000 is for the personal property rate. My favorite page looking at this book is the page, I think Mr. Wills puts it in here, Building Inspections Monthly Report. And this is what Mel's problem. But the problem is we don't know what number we're dealing with, and we don't.
Oh, sure.
It would be a total guess. But in the month of January, for the last 5 years, we had the most building permits given for the month of January by 3. The month of February, we had the most given by 18. Oh, I'm sorry, 10. 9. I looked down. I got to get glasses.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. But in the month of March, it's the most by 24. So building is not slowing down around here. All right. But anyone else have any comments or anything?
I think that we probably should have talked about this earlier, but
we haven't passed the budget yet.
No, I know that. But it's certainly something that we can look into, and I think that I had a discussion with Mr. Fairchild that we need to analyze how we're spending money and what we're getting from the nonprofits. They don't always come through for our people. And I found that out by trying to help a man get a ride to the doctor. And he would have had to stay there all day. I mean, wait at the hospital from like 10 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And that just that's not going to work for anyone. And he was on a walker, so it would be hard for him to get around. Anyway, I think if we could sit down, instead of having all of the people present to us like 5 a night, if we could have private time to meet with them and let them explain exactly what they're doing to help us. So maybe next year we can do it that way. But I think it's a little late now, isn't it, Mr. Dahl?
No, I mean, from the board standpoint, I mean, I guess it's never too late. It's never, it's,
as far as
it's
budget,
only late after you
as far as the budget goes, it's too late.
But that's what I was thinking. Doesn't it have to be done by the end of this month?
Unless you want the commissioner and the treasurer to have heart attack.
Yes. Yeah. The requirement is we have to have a balanced budget by the end of the fiscal year, but that would put the commissioner and treasurer's office in a lot of distress to try and get all the bills out by insufficient time for those taxpayers that have to pay by June 5th. Um, But I mean, you know, at this point in the budget, I mean, we have a balanced budget. So you're either dipping in the fund balance to lower something, or you're kind of going back to the drawing board and cutting things out that are in the budget.
I have one, I would say, and I know you've considered this, Mozell, and it's not, we are giving money back to citizens in that we're cutting taxes and, you know, our citizens, as you know, over these past couple of years have had plenty of citizens have had their hardships. And there are some nonprofits that I would have dug a little more into, and with a couple of you have had some conversations about some concerns and some concerns that both citizens and staff have brought to me and wanting to dig deeper into it. And you know, sense that the will wasn't there because of our budget being where it is. And if we were going to talk about doing that level of funding to the nonprofits, then I would sure like to have had those conversations as a board. And I agree with Trish, and I think I maybe talked about it with Tony, about not waiting until January, especially with some of the bigger funding items, to going forward to get a presentation and getting five of them a night and trying to absorb, and with some of the bigger ones going into July or August, whenever it is, starting to have a one-on-one, as Ms. Eber said, where we get to dig a little deeper into where their money's going into that.
Yeah, and I think we talked about that even at last year's budget, about nonprofits and whether there's certain criteria that you want to set up, certain things you want to see, but we never moved in that direction. So
I think there could be a couple of different levels of criteria that could be mm-hmm. sort of put into a checklist format that helps us evaluate, and the staff can request from the nonprofits in advance. And then if we need to dig deeper into some of the nonprofits, we can. But you know, while there's probably not a lot left in terms of fully funding the nonprofits, I think it, you know, given the concerns there, it doesn't make a lot of sense to try to do it last minute here. And whatever extra revenues that we have that are coming in will serve us well in the next budget season as well too. And you know, with the reassessment there and the adjustment that comes with the reassessment, having those extra dollars will certainly prove helpful as well too. So I'm in favor of making a motion to take the budget as it's presented myself. I'm happy to make that motion if there's any further discussion. There isn't any further discussion.
Like I said, last week, that's what, 2 weeks ago, that's what I was talking about when I talked about Lauren and personal property. And the one thing that scares me about that is everything's going this direction right now. Mm-hmm. Well, we look like we might be getting to one of those peaks where we're starting to go down. And then when we go down, instead of it helping us at the end of the year or January, we'll have to schedule for it hurting us if the housing market starts to decline. So,
well, they know the interest rate.
It's just a question of, I mean, we're in a boom right now. That's why I love looking at that page. You know, 97 building permits were issued in March, and I'm gonna bet it's only gonna go up in April. But so hearing all the discussion, do I have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors adopt the resolution entitled A Resolution to Adopt the FY23 Operations Budget, Set the Tax Rate, and the Appropriate Funds.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded Ms. Eager, beat you by a heartbeat. By last year, Mr. Fairchild. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, staff, for all their hard work.
Yes.
Amen.
Thanks for the board for all your hard work and your kind of commitment to, you know, really kind of seeing that staff is taken care of, and and providing some needed positions and really looking at the comp study. I know from the staff standpoint, they truly do appreciate and are grateful for the commitment that you all do for us. So,
I know our numbers went up a great deal on where we are, but a lot of that is influx of money that we have no control over that was just sent our way. Yeah. But to think that we've done all the things that we've done, tax rate, we went up 0.1% from an equalized tax rate. I know everybody around us is just pretty much trying to keep theirs the same and taking that 10-12% or however much they're getting with their appraisals.
Oh, the reassessments?
The reassessments. They're taking that 10 or 12%, saying, okay, let's put this away.
Elmore raised it by 3 cents, I think.
They raised their rate by 3 cents.
And they did not make any adjustments for the...
Louisa went up 12%.
Personal property, just for the adjusted basis for the assessment.
Louisa didn't change,
but their assessment went up 12%.
Yeah.
So they basically had a 12% tax increase.
Yeah.
So those folks... We're doing good, so let's move forward.
And then this board has to adopt the capital improvements plan.
D, fiscal year 2023-2027 capital improvements plan, Ms. Melton.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is the same presentation.
We can just do the motion. Nobody's got anything else to add or subtract from it, did it? Do we have a motion?
I move the board of supervisors adopt the resolution entitled Adoption of the FY 2023-2027 Capital Improvements Plan.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Seeger, seconded by Mr. Fairchild. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. And please mark this on the calendar. Ms. Booker didn't make any of those motions. And talk about tax decreases and all that stuff.
Right. Oh, it's me. Thank
you
all for listening.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the only thing I'll say about trying to meet with every nonprofit individually. I think it's 30 of them.
Yeah. And
that'd be a lot of.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's going to be awful hard for us to try and do that. Amount of meetings that we have.
Yeah, this past year too, and I'll take a little hit for that too. You know, with having our meetings be a little more consolidated, it just really kind of put us in a pinch on trying to get all the nonprofits through, and so maybe next year, you know, we had some big things coming up. Maybe instead of doing it over 2 meetings, maybe we do it over 3 meetings or 4 meetings, so we can just kind of separate it out a little bit more.
And another thing is the interagency council meets every Thursday after our first meeting, and they have been meeting on Zoom. Social services handles that. You all could get the Zoom, because then is the beginning of really getting introduced to a lot of them and present what they're doing. Kelly sits in on it, and I'm on it. I'm there most of the time.
All right.
But we had the interagency dinner as well, too.
Well, yeah. I'm just going to say that's the best part about having those guys come to speak is we get to eat a nice meal.
I also want to add, before we get away from it, that as Moselle said, you all talked about last year having a different level of discussions with them, and then you didn't do it. And when I brought up a couple weeks ago about having that checklist, that to-do list, that's the type of stuff, to me, there's no reason in saying a year later we didn't do it when you don't, sounds like you wouldn't know why you didn't do it. That was a long discussion we had for another day.
E, project agreement number 4, term contract between county and Hurt and Profit Incorporated for GIS system update, upgrade, and hosting services, Ms. Harris. So you're going from redistricting to GIS.
Yeah, it's caused by redistricting. A few weeks ago, probably a little bit longer than that, Registrar Joyce Pace had a moment of panic that there was a deadline that she was not likely to meet without this indexing of roads. And I will give a very poor description of what this is, probably. So this road index shows her all address points within the county and some that actually don't exist because of the way the post office allots so many extras, based on potential for dividing parcels. And this tells her who's on which side of the road and which district that they're in and where the zip code's in, and it is a really big, complicated thing. But she didn't have it, and to make her job possible, she requested from our current GIS provider, service provider, this political road index, and they instantly said they could do it, and they got to work on it right away, but it did require an amendment to our current contract with them. So this is a document that makes her job possible, that she needs to put in all of the changes into the state database subsequent to redistricting. So yes, it is still redistricting. Anyway, so they've done it, she's got it, she's working on it, she met her deadline last night, and this is just asking you to please amend or add this project amendment or task amendment or whatever it's called, so that we can pay them. That is the bottom line, so that we can pay them.
Alrighty, any questions from the board?
And that screen up there is just showing you a sample of what it actually looks like.
Good, yes.
I helped her with this yesterday, and I can tell you that it is, that thing made my head hurt so badly yesterday, but she met her deadline, so all is well.
I was wondering what that was, and I still don't quite.
I will tell you, it jumps back and forth from one side of the road to the other, and whose zip code is on which side, and follow. Yeah, I know way
and
more about 15,
in alphabetical order by the road name.
Yes.
Makes it 10 times worse.
Yes. And it jumps back and forth between the numbers.
This district or this district or this district. That's what I was just looking at. You got the Columbia District, you got 14, you got Cunningham, Palmyra, you got every district.
I will say very publicly, I have a renewed respect for what she has to do in that state database to be able to clear voters so that they know where they are come time. And the saving grace was there's no primary in June, so a little bit of extra cushion there.
All right, any questions from the board? Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
We have motion number one.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the budget transfer of $4,500 from the fiscal year 22 BOS contingency budget to the fiscal year 22 registrar's budget to create a political road index.
I'm sorry, I'm going to laugh just the way that sounds, a political road index. Mm-hmm. Do I have a second?
Second.
I was going to say, I hope I do. All right, motion's made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion number two.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the fourth project agreement between Savannah County and Hurton Crossing in the amount of $4,500 for the addition of a political road index and further authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as to form.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Next up is FY22 Kent Store ARC funding request. Mr. Dahl.
Yeah, just a little background. Again, this request came on March 4th, 2022 for 3C funding as a nonprofit. The request was originally, well, the request was for $400 a month or $4,800 a year for the new fiscal year. And then I believe when Mr. Sheridan was here as well and said, you know, maybe it's some different amount, but that was the original request. And again, the ARC leadership submitted issues of, kind of a long-standing partnership, voting district for the Columbia District. The building's used for county presentations. Parks and Rec is using the ARC, and then the different number of elections and special elections there. And then also having it starting to be opened as an emergency shelter should it be needed. So again, you know, providing shelter for people to come in warm bathrooms or just get internet or charging. But again, you heard Mr. Sheridan here, Mel Sheridan, who is the vice president of the ARC, the ARC board, and this was his kind of presentation of, you know, they're seeing limited revenue streams, which has made it difficult for them to do the maintenance for the building and grass cutting and things like that. So the board last meeting. So let's keep it out of the FY23 budget, and let's maybe consider it as a one-time thing, or just bring it forward from a B-list contingency. So it's back before the board for the board's consideration. And that's all I really have. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board has. But I think, you know, you heard the presentation from Mr. Sheridan representing the ARC last meeting.
Obviously, they have a generator.
What's that?
They have a generator. No.
I don't know that.
Do they?
I don't believe they do. No.
We talked about the fire department generator being big enough to possibly do both buildings.
Okay.
We have a healthy generator at the firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I'll add, I think I said this last week, I'm not really sure if I did or didn't, but I spoke with Mr. Pullen, and if we did something towards grass cutting, we possibly could tie in somebody doing the firehouse and the ARC hall together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, he thought that might not be a bad idea.
So you're saying this would be a one-time?
Well, I mean, that's up to the board.
But that's what we're...
Yeah, that's, saying. I mean, again, the board said last time, we're kind of late in the budget process. Usually nonprofits that put something forward, we have a deadline that it's submitted in November. And so this request came forward in March as a nonprofit. So it's kind of past what we do for nonprofits. So that's entirely up to the board. If they want to provide funding now, and if so, you know, they can certainly submit in the next budget cycle to be added in kind of as the list of other nonprofits, and that's up to the board's consideration then.
Yeah, and of course their revenue stream could change between now and next year.
They could.
That's why I said if we did something, we'd do it as a one-time thing. I don't think we'd do it as a every year thing, because they could become self-sufficient with the ability to rent it again.
But I do have to say, if they don't become self-sufficient, then it does put pressure on next year. So Mel's the vice president, is that right?
Jim Bowles, I believe.
Jim Bowles is the president.
And when did we give the $30,000?
Let's see here, I can...
About 2 years ago.
Yeah, let me go to the board back, check and pull up the MOU. Last week, so
I don't
know. Can't figure that out. Okay, here we go. Now let's. Is that last meeting?
Yeah.
You know, the last
time. It was the last meeting.
I think it was 4 years ago. It was 2018, I believe. 17 or 18. Wow. I think it was 18.
Which is, I
don't
see it.
It's another, there are two
other
X-Men.
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 X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men.
X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men.
X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men.
X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men.
X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men. X-Men
Mel did too, and asked them the difference between reach out, well, how much they, is the county using it? But part of Mel's presentation was all the other uses that are not county uses, and other justifying how good it is to have that as a part of the community. So it wasn't just county use.
No, they're just getting started back to renting it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you said the other two don't use, I brought up Collinswood, Collinswood and Breach Up, but they don't do county stuff. But again, part of what Mel was saying was, in addition to what the county used it for, here's the good in the use and supporting this being a part of the community. And I'm struggling with, and I'm looking for an answer. I'm not trying to make a statement. I'm struggling with, if we've already 4 years ago given them $30,000, and now it's part of it is the county uses it, but that was for the $30,000, that was the county uses it 4 years ago. So did we get the value of $30,000 over the past 4 years, and now this is the new part? That's the balancing act I'm trying to figure out. And I always think about, what if ARC, Reach Up or Collinswood does come? And
I don't disagree with what you're saying by any means, and I also have a waiver on this one. Myself personally, I think the difference might be that is, you know, of course, used as a polling place. And then second, was used as an emergency shelter this year. Potentially, we could have maybe even used emergency funds for what they're requesting now in another way around it, potentially. But in terms of the county funding those efforts in the long term, you know, that's why I recommended that we put this forward as an action item for this year and not have it as part of the budget, because I think that's one of the things that, A, they need an opportunity to build their revenues back up. It's a one-time thing from this perspective, and you know, they'd have
because
to buy it.
To build, in other words, they had it that was COVID-related.
It was COVID-related, right.
So. The only income they had was, we talked about the, I do not want to make this 40 minutes long, but, the dump truck guys are not coming back, so there's $1,000 gone out the window, and they were not able to rent it during COVID.
Yeah.
So I would support the 1 year and see.
Yeah, I think that even though the MOU clearly states that the intention is that the county can use it, two things: one, the repairs were absolutely necessary to make it a viable place for polling, and that's a value to the county for certain. And second, I know that a lot of in-kind labor was donated as part of the repairs to fix that up at that point in time as well, too. So, I was, again, we had kind of the same conversation where the money was requested at that point in time to do it, to your point. There was a fair amount of discussion behind it, but at the end of the day, for the locations and the limited places that we have for polling places, I think the board made the right decision at that point in time to really partner with the ARC in terms of making the improvements that would benefit all citizens that are voting in the Columbia area.
When we read the ARPA agreement, it said that, I think what it said was that you could use ARPA money for that if they lost revenue because of COVID?
You could, it's...
I mean, so it's $5,000
if we did,
coming out
of contingency.
Yeah, I mean,
more contingency. It's kind of half dozen or another right now.
Especially if we're doing it as a one-time thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, whatever you decide or we decide, I mean, we could do $2,400, we could do $4,800, we could do whatever.
Yeah, I mean, in the motion, I left the dollar amount blank because that's entirely up to the board.
Like I said, you know, the one thing that I'll say that because I literally spoke with Chief Pullen is if we could get them somebody to keep the county from having to drive to Kent's door to cut the grass. We already talked about getting the UTV so that we can push snow with it. So that would save them from having to come out to us. You know, I'd say it's the way it's 25 miles.
And you put dollar value to what that would say, the account?
That would have to be a...
Right now,
I think we got a local guy that literally comes over there and volunteers to cut it for nothing. Anyway, I've spoken more than I really wanted to, so I'm going to be quiet. Do we have any type of a motion or any more discussion?
One second here, I'm sorry. Just pull this back up.
I move the Board of Supervisors.
That motion doesn't say...
We can
fill in the blank. We could do 20, we could do 48, 24.
They requested $400 per month.
Yeah, I know that, but it...
By the board just doing it out of BOS contingency, it is only one time.
It is one time.
Okay.
So, and with it, with, you know, say grass cutting season really being maybe 9 months, I would recommend $3,600 or something along those lines.
$3,600? All right.
Seeger, how do you feel?
If this is a one-time payment, and I think we can do this.
He said 36.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I move the Board of Supervisors approve a budget transfer of $3,600 from fiscal year 22 Board of Supervisors contingency budget to the fiscal year 22 nonprofit budget to provide funding for facility maintenance for the Kent Store Agricultural Recreation Center, the ARC Club.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'm going to sit this one out so it'll be 4-0-1. I'm going to abstain because I've been a member of, been in the past of it, and I don't want it to be. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. So, passes.
You could have voted though because you commented.
Okay, well, I could.
It's not definitely a conflict of interest.
It doesn't make any difference.
I've had lawyers tell me, old lawyers tell me, if you think you have an ethical problem, you probably do.
Then I probably shouldn't have said a word and just walked out.
I don't think any of your comments
were legally wrong. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's over with anyway, so let's move forward. Appointments G, board, commission, and committee appointments. Mr. Dahl.
Yes, we have one, an appointment for the job advisory council, a citizen representative. Ms. Solis, is this a reappointment?
Yes, she is the incumbent. She took over an unexpired term. It's kind of short. Saw it recently. She's coming back.
And he probably took LP's place, right?
Probably, I don't know for certain.
Yeah.
I move. The Board of Supervisors approved the following board commission or committee appointment for the Job Advisory Council Citizen Representative Vernon L.T. Knight, May 1, 2022 to April 30, 2024.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
Yes,
it's Bernadette.
Bernadette.
I think that's just a unique way of spelling it, ma'am.
That is a creative way of spelling it.
I was trying to go Bernadette. Well, all I know is I can tell you one thing. If that was the young lady that replaced Miss Key, she replaced the legend.
Amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite people on the face of this earth. All right. We're in presentations now. Economic Development Strategic Plan, Draft Strategic Goals. Ms. Jennifer Schmack, Director of Economic Development, Sandy Dubai, Platinum PR.
Thank you.
And I saw her online, so I know we got Ms. Dubai online.
So we have Sandy Dubai and Sophie Smith online. They will be presenting their portion of this. Just to start off, kick it off really quickly, we are talking about the draft strategic goals that we have put together. This has come out of the focus group sessions, the individual sessions that the board, the Economic Development Authority has had, as well as some community meetings and some staff focus groups. So the next step in this is to look at the goals and get feedback from the board. And from there, Sandy and her team will put together the full economic development strategic plan that we hope to bring back to you May, June.
Well, that might be something that you could bring to us at our retreat, too.
Well, that was kind of one thing that we wanted to kind of get some of the draft strategic goals in front of the board first, and just one, just so you can make comment on it. And then certainly those are things that we discuss at a retreat and then, you know, kind of put into the final plan.
So without further ado, I give you Sophie and Sandy.
Awesome. Thank you all. Thrilled to be here this evening. Jennifer, you're going to be forwarding the slides, correct?
Eric will, and just say next slide, and I'll move you through.
He's very good.
Okay, great. Eric, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yes, we're thrilled to be here, and as Jennifer said, we sat down with all of you and many others in the community the end of 2021, early 2022, and with that research, we also conducted some surveys, focus groups, and one-on-one meetings. And as a result of that research and kind of data narrative collection, worked together with the county team, Jennifer and Eric and others, to present these, to create and present these goals with you today. So Eric, why don't we skip on to the next slide? This is a working document. We wanted to, present this to you in different phases so that we, you know, didn't spend 8-9 months working on something and have you say, whoa, that's not what we were thinking. So this is, you know, kind of our solid, just past midpoint check-in with this. And the first goal, and honestly, I'm thrilled to hear some of the progress that you guys have been talking about this evening. Everything that Rudy had presented and and some of the budget opportunities and details, things like that, were great. So goal number one, to position Fluvanna County as a business-friendly county with competitive assets in the Central Virginia region. And then what we've identified are some tactics to get to that point or to stay and continue to thrive in that position. We'll keep it at story time with Sandy and I'll, you know, do a little read aloud here on some of these. I'm not going to read all of them, looking to communicate steps of a streamlined and really standardized business permitting process. Get some, design some potential business incentive offers that the county could present, promote your Shovel Ready Site program, and, really continue to invest in some of your key growth areas. And a lot of that was reiterated through your broadband discussion earlier this evening. Next slide, Eric. Goal number two, to foster entrepreneurship, business growth and expansion with, through our county business retention efforts. One of the things that I heard Rudy talk about earlier this evening was just the importance of, supporting and growing that entrepreneurial climate in the county and how critically important that is. So some different initiatives here, just continuing to collaborate. And there are so many different programs, Small Business Development Center was mentioned earlier, things like that, sharing those resources, really working to help businesses, existing businesses in the county. Formalizing a business retention and expansion program, creating a business database so we know how to track and know who the contacts are of all of the businesses in Fluvanna. Really looking at some trackable metrics and details there. something different, but I know you guys have been talking about it for a little while, really support, advocate, and promote a new community commercial kitchen. Again, getting back to staying within our roots of small business and entrepreneurship and agriculture, and a commercial kitchen would certainly help to support that. Explore entrepreneurial opportunities, such as the development of co-working space, business incubator. It's too late for me. I should not be doing a presentation after like 5 o'clock, but so I'm going to stumble through my words. Sorry about that. And makerspace. So again, similar to the commercial kitchen idea, I'm really supporting entrepreneurs in any capacity and at every level that where they are, giving them opportunities to grow and thrive in the county. Work towards the creation of a new position to support marketing of businesses and tourism promotions. Again, really support leaning in on our business retention efforts for the county. And then developing a comprehensive hazard mitigation plan for businesses in the county. And I think, you know, if we have learned nothing from these last couple of years, it's the importance of some of this planning for worst case scenario environments. Eric, next slide. Goal number three, develop new and enhance existing tourism experiences, activities, and events in the county to increase tourism attraction. One of the biggest things that greatest assets that you have is this being able to capitalize on your tourism assets and the environment in the county. So devising implementing a shop local plan and promoting your different tourism experiences, really leaning in on agritourism, leaning in on craft beverage, different artists and events, amazing park system, so capitalizing on some of those outdoor recreation things. And then looking for additional funding, so researching and applying for grants that could support future tourism initiatives in the county. Eric, next slide. Goal number four. Support businesses with talent recruitment and retention. Oh my gosh, so finding, you know, qualified people that want to live and work has been super challenging for all businesses. And, you know, so for the county economic development to support, to continue to support the businesses and their talent needs. And, you know, figuring out what additional collaboration could happen with both educational institutions and our workforce partners. Next slide. Advocating for Fluvanna County business community as the county addresses its infrastructure challenges, whether it's, you know, water or broadband or, you know, other developable sites, you know, having economic development there at the table with the business community, with, you know, thinking about the future, is definitely a goal here. And next slide, Eric. Oh, look at that. Okay, so questions. I'm going to turn it over to bring Jennifer back on if she has anything, any additional comments that she wanted to make there.
I think that's a lot. So I'll just let you process, and if you have any questions for Sandy or myself.
I have a question about the local, it's back one, local tourism.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Do we have other, where's wineries? Are they in a word there that I
know? Yeah, viticulture.
Exactly. Oh, viticulture, that is the winery. Okay.
Yeah.
What about the this building right here? What about Art Council? What about the
Artisans?
Artisans?
Yep.
I look at artisan differently. I'm looking at Linda, because Linda is a person that
I asked her to come for
does
this.
The pottery and all kinds of things.
Well, and then on there you have events, and you have really the artisans and the events is right. Really kind of where that falls into play.
Yeah, what about the other history that we have? We have tremendous history here of historical things. Is that not a part of?
No, this wasn't intended to be. honestly, a comprehensive list, we would include it in there. If you'd like to add that, we could certainly add that to make sure that it's not fallen off the off of the list of priorities.
Right, because when we take tours, and you've driven the bus through the touring, I mean, our history is...
Overton and I had it under control.
Right.
We had it locked down.
And just remember, these goals, they were kind of just kind of a big summary of everyone's comments from both the board, the EDA, and the two stakeholder groups, and then the staff meetings. And so there is a much longer comprehensive list to kind of go through, but this is just kind of a high-level summary of kind of what everything kind of combined up.
If you go back to the first page, reorganize and communicate steps of streamlined and standardized business permitting process to new and existing businesses. So explain to me what would be on that list. Say if a new business, they would have a checklist of what they need to do.
Yes,
right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So I don't know if Sandy wants to add anything yet, but one of the things that did come out of some of the community meetings, some of the community stakeholder meetings, was the just not knowing the full process.
How do you start? What do you do? Yeah.
Right, and how to get through a rezoning or to vacate a boundary line, it's just a host of different things.
And again, some of this, when you see the word reorganize and communicate, the county does have some processes out there on the website and stuff, but again, if people are having a hard time finding it, it's about getting the information out in front of them again, and just make sure that we're, we kind of, as it says, we're reorganizing and figuring out how to get the information to the people, because if some of them are missing it, then we need to do a better job of trying to get the word out in a different way.
And just to add to that briefly, if businesses within the county are struggling to understand the processes, it's likely that businesses looking at Lubana County would also struggle to understand the processes. So ensuring that this information is digestible and accessible is very important. We forget that, sometimes when you're really in the weeds and you're hearing about this and dealing with it on a daily basis, it seems easy. And so we want to, but oftentimes a business is expanding once. A business is coming in and purchasing a building and going through this process one time. And so we want to make it really easy for them aren't dealing with this on a daily basis, like many of us are.
Okay, so how are we going to track the progress of our accomplishing these goals? Do we have a time limit?
This is a Jennifer, I don't know if you wanted to answer this, but this is the goals for the next five years.
Yeah, so it wasn't an ask for a lot of money for this one year. The idea is that it is a work plan. It becomes a work plan for Jennifer and team. I hope you could hear it in the language. We worked really hard to get the language to and the tactics to be measurable. Some of them are we did it or we didn't. Others you would see and track progress over the next, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years and beyond.
Now, this one probably is a question, and I'm going to apologize, Kelly or whoever. I thought I remember Brian one time, a long time ago, talking about a list of, we talked about the shopping here at home. The list of the
101 things to do in...
Well, yeah, I know we did something of that nature, 101 things to do in Fluvanna, but a list of the farms that you can buy goods from.
The blue dot. The business directory?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, so that is online.
That is online, okay.
We just need to do a better job of promoting it and making sure...
Yeah, just making sure that people get out there and see it and know that that exists, because... there's so many amazing products that are made here.
Yeah. And that speaks to, I believe it was goal, I haven't memorized my goals yet, But goal three is to creating a bi-local campaign. That will be what we do.
Eric marked that on your book. She didn't have
three. We haven't adopted it yet, so it's not, no, I mean, it's not my Bible yet.
I mean, it gives us something to think about, and this is, I think, what they're talking about coming back to us in May and June with, mm-hmm. with a more polished, that's not the right word, but a more exact...
Comprehensive,
very good.
So who would be bringing that back to us? The same three of you, or...?
Yes.
So, somewhere in there was, maybe it was in goal two, the marketing, creation of a new
position
geared towards marketing and so on.
Yes.
Who, has this board ever heard that as an option or possibility to add that position?
I don't think so. We've had a lot of different positions brought to us, asked, you know, that we'll eventually ask for.
I had certainly been pushing when Bryant was here that he needed someone in his additional person in his office. So I guess I can say I know I have, and I was glad to see that in there.
Yeah, again, this is a 5-year plan, yeah. and you know, from Jennifer, you know, from her. From her position, you know, she needs to get in, she needs to understand the system first before you just bring someone in. And so with a 5-year plan, we'll be able to kind of determine when's the right point to bring that person in. Because again, with one person, she can only do so much. When we get businesses coming in, you know, what it takes to do a request for information, going out meeting with local businesses. I mean, it's a full day.
Showing them land.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wasn't saying for or against. I was just wondering where the recommendation was coming from.
I believe.
These were all coming from everyone that these goals are created from everyone that spoke. Everyone that provided the feedback.
We were interviewed.
Blame her.
But it was more than just Miss. You know, Miss.
I'm just trying to understand the process of how we got here.
Yeah. And really, I mean, Sandy, and maybe Sandy can speak to it a little bit better. Sometimes some of the goals, if there was more than one person just said something, then some of those things became more important, bullet points as far as the goal is concerned.
And how long ago, Sandy, how long ago did you talk to us?
December, January.
So I'm not sure. Did she speak with you? So it probably spoke with Mr. Weaver. So it's probably
No. No, she spoke with Mr. Fairchild.
Did she speak with you, Chris?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Okay, I just was trying to get the timeline because I don't know if
she
got.
Oh, she spoke with me individually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
It's basically a compilation of everything. Everybody put together.
Yeah, we waited until the new board was on.
Right.
Just to start the process. Yeah.
Now, what role does the economic development and the ed tech have with this working with you? Are they partners with you?
They are. So, in fact, they are their tourism strategic plan, and Aaron's back there, so if I can phone a friend in a minute, their tourism strategic plan is actually up for review now. And in November, December, at their meeting, they decided to hold off until this was in play. So that they can mesh and gel a little bit better.
Okay.
So a number of years ago, I proposed $10,000 towards a marketing budget. We did that 1 year, and we took it out of the budget. And to answer your question in terms of, you know, whether the recommendation for an additional position, that's been sort of talked about more as another administrative position within the county as one of the roles, but not necessarily a full-time role at this point in time. You know, then that was, I think we talked about that a number of years ago as well, too. So. Again, part of the 5-year plan, but certainly as we work to implement the plan, we'll need to allocate some dollars to promote the plan. I think the time we did it, probably 10 years ago now, we didn't actually spend that $10,000.
We've only been on the board now.
So we didn't actually spend that money. But I do have a couple of quick questions. One is, in terms of sort of interviewing everybody, was there any idea that stood out that was very different from what everybody else was talking about, or was there a lot of commonality in general?
There was a lot of commonality in general. Eric mentioned this earlier. So the way that we analyzed the qualitative data that we gathered was that more than one person had to mention an item on here more than once. as in you couldn't just be a singular voice with, you know, an agenda looking to push one thing onto this plan. Multiple people had to echo the sentiment in order for it to be reflected in these drafted goals. Does that answer your question?
It does, but I guess I would maybe add, if that was part of the criteria, was there potentially some idea that was that stood out to the group and that didn't fit that criteria that maybe should have been at least brought up as, well, this was an interesting idea. And maybe it's just not the place
to
do it.
Did you put one through, Tony?
No, I didn't. Oh. I think of course, all of my ideas were
good ideas, but
I'm not saying they were any better than yours. Right?
That's probably something you can give them an idea if they come back to speak to us at our retreat, that y'all could look back and see if there's anything you thought that was dynamic.
Yeah, I think anytime somebody puts something out that's very creative,
we're using our good words here.
That's right.
Yeah, I will definitely go back. We can go back and look back through, you know, our notes and stuff in those meetings. But I don't recall anything that was, you know, completely kind of off in left field that could be that, you know, oh my gosh, solution for all of our problems. But I will look back and see if it was something that, you know, was said once and, you know, might be a brilliant idea that somehow got glossed over. But if it was a brilliant idea and it was said once, I'd probably take credit for it, too.
And just to add to that, I'm so sorry, Eric, did everyone have access to the qualitative analysis report that we presented?
No, and we wanted to kind of give them a high level of this. And again, before we do that, you know, for the final plan, we want to give them all that information then to go through before they formally adopt what the full report's going to be.
And then my second question would be, in terms of your work with other counties that are of a similar nature as Glouvana County, were there things that you felt, you know, were a real plus for Glouvana and likewise maybe a real minus for Glouvana?
Yes.
You care to elaborate?
I would say, yeah, I mean, there are, you know, oftentimes, you know, communities rural in nature, like Glouvana, have very similar struggles. But I think your investments in broadband, the fact that you are going through this exercise, you know, is significant. You know, actually, you know, taking the time to ask community stakeholders what they want, to engage yourself and your EDA, and, you know, using that local expertise and talent is huge. I think that you certainly have some, you know, unique assets. I think that the general, like, you know, kind of a pro-business vibe of the community is something that we really want to look at. You know, really think that there need to be some ways of encouraging, not just talking the talk, but, you know, walking it, and really encourage investment in the county. Those, you know, the economic development numbers, you know, when you've got investment from your business community, they are not the strain on your local tax base. They're just enhancing it. They're not a strain on services, public safety, school system, things like that. They are just adding to your tax base. And it's so critically important to have that type of investment in your county. So I think some opportunities for future. Obviously, talent attraction and retention is a huge thing across the country that everybody is dealing with. I think that the county is uniquely positioned as some place that people, you know, want to live. And now in a work from anywhere environment, you know, we get them working and living here. And then, you know, ultimately, wouldn't it be great if they decided to start their own business and, you know, worked in that co-working space and started to hire others and, you know, create other opportunities, you know, locally. So, yeah, those are some quick thoughts. I'm happy to elaborate. I can talk about this all day.
That's great. Thank you.
Strong presentation. I'll mention that in that meeting that I had with Jennifer and Sandy, that one of my concerns was just taking one bullet point as an example. So create a business database of all existing businesses for tracking business metrics in Fluvanna County. For years, especially when I was on the chamber board, I heard plenty of business owners say, "I don't want you tracking me." And that's really been a consideration, because almost like to the, once you make me register my guns, then what do you do? Once you know who we all are and where we're at, then you're gonna tax me.
Duff a beephole.
Yeah.
That's always been the fear, ever since 1997,
yeah,
when they did a big study. And so how do we get around that?
Some businesses would say it's not your right or
to track me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So part of that is my metrics. So that is how many times I have touch points in the business community. So it'll track my visits to your business or to your business. And, you know, how many times I interact with you. In some cases, it would be, you know, monthly if we're working on a project. Right.
You may have to put a little explanation.
There's an argument for a business license, which helps to identify, and can be a very reasonable license. And then there's a whole separate discussion about whether or not businesses should be taxed or not taxed, and whether that's a competitive or advantage or disadvantage. In Albemarle County, there's a people tax. There's also a business license. They are not the same. They are different. I think when you talk about trying to communicate and to understand and to know what you have in terms of resources in your county, if you don't have at least a sense of the number of businesses that you have there, how do you even know that you're getting the personal property tax from them? You don't. You really don't know that, do you? It's just voluntary at that point in time. That's just personal property tax from that standpoint. But B, how do you communicate? How do you get them engaged? How do you involve? If you don't even know who your businesses are.
Right.
And I think that, you know, it to me, the fact that Fluvanna County has resisted to at least have a business license is really a weakness, not a plus, in my opinion. And I don't think a $50, whatever the administrative fee is that covers the cost of managing that process, should be the business license fee. But to me, that seems like a very basic starting point.
But that's not our decision, though, is it?
That is our decision.
That is our decision,
yeah.
But as you said, quite a bit of what you just said there goes to taxes. And then you discuss other types of taxes that it lets us know what property they had and so on. And all that perks up ears. And I'm giving you a devil's advocate. To tell me that you should mandate something on me, so you have a better database and understanding of what businesses are here.
I think you could take the opposite approach as well, too, which is to say, why is it that if I own a piece of property here that I have to report that? You know, you're making me do that if you want to take that same approach. The idea that the business community is not part of our community and therefore doesn't benefit from the services that are provided by the community, and that their real only income is in the form of, you know, their only real taxes is in the form of machinery and tools tax for some of the businesses, and for personal property, which, as I just pointed out, is somewhat voluntary, you know, if you don't even know whether they exist or not, right? To me, that's a de minimis, if you would, in terms of at least identifying and helping the county understand what those resources are, so that we can actually reach out to those businesses and look to expand. I mean, when we have a business fair, right, when we try to bring in a business to the area, when we try to grow the community centers in the areas, when we talk about having a co-working space, those things are all costs that are being paid primarily by homeowners, not by businesses, being paid primarily by homeowners. So to me, it seems like a very reasonable thing to say, let's identify. It's an entirely separate discussion that you can then have in terms of saying, do we have a B-poll tax or not have a B-poll tax? And that's a revenue stream that other counties have, which when people talk about, well, why is Fluvanna's real estate tax so high? It's because that's just one other lever that we don't have that other counties do have. I pay more in bee poll taxes in Albemarle County than I pay in real estate taxes here, you know, as an example.
See why I was saying we should analyze
the board? And I'm just saying, but that's a decision that the board of each individual county makes at that point in time. Doesn't lead to the other. Doesn't necessarily lead.
It's just saying we should be careful to be sure that the things that we include in our goals are the things that the board believes that we should be doing.
So I do have a real-life case in point for this. Happened about 2 years ago. Everybody knows I came from a neighboring county. We will not name them. But they have a bee poll tax. They track their businesses. The data is not collected and given to like departments because it stays in the finance department. So creating a business retention and expansion program, we also had to create a business database. Pandemic hit. I only had 1 year of business retention expansion data collected. Pandemic hit. We had $5.5 million that we needed to get out into the business community. Influx of cash. We could not completely get it out because we didn't have a business list. We didn't know how to reach our businesses. So just having that data to be able to track them is very valuable.
Could you have done that through the Chamber of Commerce?
No. No. I tapped into several different resources to get some of this data. Virginia Labor Market Index, I believe is what it's called. I know them all by acronyms. So we were able to get the data from that, but it's only raw data, so then you have to transport it in and kind of shift it through it, and then some of it's old. So we were able to get some out there, but it was a real in-your-face problem.
The same thing occurred with Bryant, too. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I think we did two different funding streams of almost, gosh, it was over close to $1 million from the original CARES Act mm-hmm. money that we had, and we had programs out there to help businesses. And again, we could only get the word out, and since we don't have a solid database of those businesses, you know, there was funds that, I mean, they went to different uses, but you know, you couldn't reach all the businesses that really needed to be reached. And some of them after the fact are like, well, you know, how can you even contact us? Well, you're not on our list. So, I mean, we could have.
Oh, and there are good points on both sides. Yeah. And one good point to that other side, to the other side of that would be, you're going to mandate them on the list so you can help me.
There'll still be people that don't sign up for the business license when they're supposed to. I mean, nobody's mandating you.
If you work with the commissioner, I know he has a list of a large list of businesses. So that might be something mm-hmm. where that could fill that void.
Sure.
The ones that are paying the business personal property tax, which mm-hmm. he has a list of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's where we've got to be a bit better working with joint county.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's a good deep conversation.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's got the list of those that have submitted the forms and that they picked up and they notice and those that have reached out. You know, we get all the time, we get businesses that call in and say, okay, well, we want to start a business. What do I need to do to get my business license? And we're like, well, we don't have a business license, but what you need to do, you need to contact the Commissioner of Revenue's office and fill out a business application form through his office.
I remember bee poll taxes in a lot of counties, you know, have a minimal level of revenue before it even applies. Right? So in Albemarle County, I think it's $100,000, and that's just the minimum. Other than that, it's just the business license. So bee poll tax is regressive. I'm not arguing in favor of necessarily having one.
So you can
I'm arguing in favor of the fact that we have at least a business license.
So you can develop the bee poll requirements different ways.
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could make it $500,000.
Sure. Right.
I've written about 5 or 6 bee poll ordinances, mm-hmm. which the board has considered and rejected. Seriatim.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just you, Mr. Payne.
So do we want to just take this off the list?
No, well, I wasn't even saying to do that.
So just to be clear, this particular item, and Sandy, please chime in, is not specifically for a bee poll or anything. This is a database for the Economic Development Office to track job creation, capital investment, touch points in the community, and just be able to track individual companies.
Right, that's different.
Yes.
Or help advertise. Yes. When somebody calls you up and says, hey, do you have this available in your county? Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom.
Right,
and that's back to the B list? Is that what you called it? Brian's thing and all the list of businesses?
Oh.
Hey, Brian loved nicknames.
It was a blue dot.
Blue dot. I had B in there. I knew there was a B in there somewhere. All right.
Yeah, so I think that this discussion is great, and you know, certainly to understand where you all are sitting, kind of in feel in different areas. But yes, the intention of this evening is to present this, get you guys thinking and talking about it, and then we could move into the next phase of getting this plan completed and ready for you.
Now she's walking away from this going, that one little thing got 30 minutes of conversation. Bam, I'm fired up for this retreat.
Sandy, what's Platinum PR? What does that mean?
That's the name.
Platinum PR is...
That's your business name.
That's the business name.
And the PR is...
Stands for Places Reimagined.
I was wrong. I was saying the public relations.
It did at one point. We recently changed it.
I like the new name better. I like that.
Yeah. Thank you. We work primarily with places. We work with a lot of economic development and tourism-based organizations around the country, primarily Mid-Atlantic, but we do have some clients across the country. And so this is what we do, is we help places to grow and support and, figure out, develop, expand their economic development or tourism efforts. Well,
thank you guys so much. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
Yes, ma'am. All right, next up is the consent agenda. J, minutes of April 6th, 2022. K, minutes of April 13th, 2022. L, proclaiming May 2022, Older Americans Month. Mrs. Elise. M, accounts payable report for March 2022, Mr. Dahl. N, resolution recognizing Jacob Charles Krause, Eagle Scout, Mrs. Elise. O, CRMF, C-A-R-H-B, HVAC, fan and motor assemblies, Mr. Striblin. P, temporary staff stipend for additional duties, Black, Mr. Dahl. And Q, temporary staff stipend for additional duties, Melton, Mr. Dahl. Is there anything we want to pull? I don't think so.
I have a few questions about the accounts payable.
Yes, because I didn't get a chance to look over.
On number 261, it's $6,044.75, and it said the Eagle Care. Can you explain that?
Beagle.
It references a name in there, and the Beagle Care, I'm unsure of. The only thing I can think of is, Mr. Payne,
there was a problem with some of David Haney's animals, and the sheriff seized him. That may be what it was.
Yeah, and the only thing.
I was in the hospital, so I wasn't involved in
it. The only thing I'm thinking of here potentially is there's only so much room, so when you put things into the system, it sometimes picks up the first part of the description, and so maybe that was just the first part of the description, but the whole amount was probably the lump sum of everything, and the county did get reimbursed.
Is that the name of the people who picked the animals up?
No. That was a kid.
SPCA. I imagine it was the care, the veterinary care that they needed at the beginning, and then the upkeep and storage.
Okay, I just thought it was a lot of money.
Yeah, Mrs. Eater, what we'll do, we'll look into that, because I think I probably need to coordinate with the Sheriff's Department and Animal Control to figure out exactly what that
probably
what that
quite a few.
Is.
Beagles.
Yeah.
As I recall,
it could be.
It's not just beagles.
Horses, cows.
Big animals, too.
It does say transport cattle, 285, and sale of cattle.
Yep.
And that was $4,369.
So that was all the animals that were seized.
Yeah, you said, I'm sorry, you said 261. You said which number again? 285?
285. Okay. 261 is the beagles.
Yep, 285.
And 285 is transport cattle, 288 is sale of cattle. So that, I think you've answered that. You said they were
Yeah.
Legal problems.
Okay. Yeah.
And is there anybody using the Weaver building?
Nonprofits are starting to use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's used very minimally, and Mr. Hickman, it's used very minimally.
Because that's number 543, and Mr. Weaver would be interested in this one. The electric bill was $152, so that's a tiny little building.
Yeah, and that building, you know,
that's been brought up before.
There was a
reason for that before. I think that's where all of those buildings come on one bill.
Mm.
Is that Mr. Hickman? Can you answer that one? What number was that? 543.
Yes.
What was the question?
The Weaver building, is that its own, the electric bill is $152, and I've wondered if you're using it, and is it a loan, or are there other builders tied into it? Because usually it's about $30.
Yeah, it's on its own meter, it has its own heat in there, it is not, the windows are not airtight in there, so it's not frugal in its energy level.
Right.
But okay. It is maintained at a certain level all winter. Mm-hmm. It is conditioned space at all times.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
that seems like a lot. So
was it that much throughout the winter?
I cannot tell you about, I look at so many. I look at every building. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I do look at what the bill was the previous month and what it is that month.
Yeah,
and to see how it registered. Yes.
I check it for Mr. Weaver.
Mr. Hickman, can you just get some information on that?
I will. I'll get some more information on that.
Thank you, sir. Anything else?
No.
Anyone? All righty. Do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I move that we accept the consent agenda.
Second. Do you want to read all those?
Yeah, oh, that's right. Somebody, I've read them already.
Yeah.
Do we have to read them again? We don't have to. Just J through Q.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Do we have any unfinished business, Mr. Dahl? None that I know of.
Not for me.
I've just been meaning to get a hold of Douglas on it. He was going to get pictures to me when we passed the Dominion station so I could put them out there on the web and say, hey, here's the type of landscaping that's coming. And I still need to get those.
Mr. Miles?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fairchild was just talking about possibly getting some of those pictures.
When we passed the Dominion substation, you said you could get me some pictures. The pictures from the presentation.
Yeah.
You said you'd get those pictures to me. I said I wanted to be able to put them out on Facebook and say, here's what's coming.
Okay.
Presentations on the website under supplemental information.
Are you saying I can download those off of it?
I'm saying all the presentations are put up the next day, pretty much, after the meeting.
I want to put it on Facebook. I want pictures that I can put into Facebook and say, here's what's coming.
Yeah, you're probably not going to be able to pull it.
Okay. I can email some to you from Ben Jackson and the folks that gave them to Caitlin and I. That's
I just want to be sure I get those before it's not time anymore to put it out there that it's past and here's what you get.
Okay. Yeah, just for your knowledge and the board's knowledge, we're finalizing the site plan right now on that anyways, and the building permits and everything, so that's going to be approved soon as well. So.
Yeah.
For construction.
And I went by there one day, and the deal, Bruce and Debbie were very, very happy with the outcome of the
call.
Yeah,
they were happy.
I'm sorry, Chairman Sheridan. I was catching up with Linda Stager on some of the business investments.
That's okay. I know you were getting your steps in going around the building.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Fairchild. I'll get those to you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Miles.
And then I don't know when we want to deal with this, but we've talked a couple times about renaming the districts, and I don't know if we're waiting until after budget season to address that.
We're really trying to just kind of get budget finished, and there's some things on the list to bring forward. We weren't planning, I think the last discussion we had, we weren't planning on bringing it really soon to the board, but I mean, we can certainly do it sooner if the board, if the board's direction is to do it sooner than later.
To do what?
Renaming the districts.
He wants to rename the districts.
To what?
Besides Palmyra District, Fork Union District.
Well, I would say you would want to review the names of the districts.
Right.
Because some of them you probably wouldn't want to change, some of them you would.
I don't know if you remember, Moselle, I brought up that if somebody moves here new, and they hear that they're in the Palmyra District, people in the Palmyra District don't go to Palmyra to vote. And so it's no longer relevant. The Cunningham District, you know, I mean, you could pick different examples. I guess Cunningham is part of the thing.
Well, you're going to have
but you don't go to Cunningham.
You're going to have a number of choices. And you might want to redo the whole system. Yeah. Do something you imagined you'd like to. I think
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, yeah, have a
northeast,
system.
Northeast, west, and south.
Or we could just change Palmyra to Beaver Dam.
Could be something like that. Let me say that you don't have any obligation to change it. To change any of it. But, I'm not arguing against it. But so the point is you can do either a lot or a little or nothing.
I don't care if it's 4 months from now. I mean it. I don't mean that sarcastically. We've talked about it a couple times, and I just want to have some feel that that's going to... I don't want it to happen again where, as you said, Moselle, earlier, y'all brought up something last year that here we are in the budget again. I just want to be sure.
I would suggest if you do it, you might think about doing it sometime like early summer, because if you're going to do it, you want time to get approved in time for the general election in November.
And maybe we need to check.
We can't make that.
Check the registrar to see on timing issues. Yeah.
I noticed now my system is very sensitive.
Oh my goodness!
So go back. So we got an update on.
He's smiling. I'm not trying to.
I think you said don't do that.
I'm just afraid to eat.
I'm afraid to.
Start chomping on a pretzel. I might break somebody's eardrum.
So we do have a breakdown of some of those charges. Let me see here. I'm trying to. This is 6,000.
Well, the legals, it came to 54 something, so something else was in there.
Yeah, so there's lots of that here for apparently lots of animals, horses, beagles, things of that nature. There's a whole list.
I know there were all three. At least beagles, horses.
Yeah. There were five dogs
for
109 days, and that was the auction total.
Okay.
So the county was paid back by the sale of the animals?
Yeah. When all the livestock went to auction, you know, they were purchased at auction, and then the county was reimbursed for any fees or any charges that the county incurred, and if there was any remaining funds left over, then those funds went back to the property owner.
Right.
All right.
So
anything else?
Well, I guess before we go back to Mr. Fairchild's question, I mean, I guess that's where I need some direction from the board. Does the board want me to come back with a renaming, some type of renaming thing, and at what point?
I would say yes. Why put it off? And second, what was just mentioned, we've got, as Fred said, we've got some time limits that we need to meet to make it ready.
For the election.
Yeah. It's not a big item, so I don't know why we put it off.
Well, it may be.
Maybe to some.
I can imagine somebody.
I don't really have any objection. I mean, I think, you know, I guess my only question revisiting would be how many people are going to be voting in a different location?
A lot.
You know.
And I don't mean put it off to, I don't mean whether we should put it off tonight. I mean, put it off to the next year. I'm just saying let's deal with it before the time limit.
Before the next election.
As Mr. Payne suggested, early summer or something.
Yeah.
Is that June?
Okay.
June earlier?
I mean, is that the consensus of the board?
Is June earlier?
Does anybody have any objections to revisit
it? I think it's early.
We can revisit it.
Okay.
Okay.
So bring something back to the board in June. I
suggested in June.
Yeah. If we went to 7, then we'd have had to do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'd have to do something to come up with names. So.
Everybody okay with June for it to come back up?
June?
Yep.
As long as that's soon enough.
Yeah, we'll coordinate with Ms. Pace and the registrar's office and Mr. Payne just to make sure that from a timing standpoint from both offices that we can do it like that. And if for some reason there's an issue doing it, we'll certainly bring it back to the board and notify you if for some reason we can't do it in the June time frame.
All righty. New business?
Mr. Chairman, I have an item that I was triggered to think about by one of the contract items you had as GIS. You may recall some time ago, I think I mentioned to the board the idea of beginning work on clarifying the county boundaries. And you may recall that, I think it was in 2018, there was an issue about the GIS for Flavanna and the GIS for Albemarle not conforming. And they're supposed to because, it occurred to me that sooner or later we're going to have to address all of the boundaries of the county except for the southern boundary because we know that's the James River. God put that there, so you can't do anything about that. But Albemarle is an easy one because it's a straight line and the only issue is where it is. I have touched base with the Albemarle County Attorney's Office. We do have a little bit of a problem because the Albemarle County Attorney just retired. But he has an assistant working on it, and he called me the other day. This line was created by a survey commissioned by the General Assembly in 1777. It is an astonishingly accurate line. It's remarkable how complete it is. And I got a copy of the Albemarle County Clerk's Office and sent it to the Albemarle County Attorney. Scottsville actually did another survey in the 90s. What comes of it, I'm not sure, but it's premature for you all to worry about it. We haven't brought it up for any authorization or anything. We're just trying to figure out where, sort of the parameters of the work. So I have talked with the Albemarle people. They are going to get their GIS people involved, and we are probably going to have to get our GIS people involved. But sooner or later, it's got to be resolved because it is one line. GIS shows it in two different places. I believe the appropriate thing to do, and what I'm thinking about recommending, is board with Albemarle's board simply agree that this is the line based on the original survey. It's, to my knowledge, never been changed. So it's not a project you're going to get done tonight. I just thought I'd bring it up to you. Of course, I've been working through Mr. Dahl, and we'll keep you posted on what's going on.
The Albemarle line certainly is going to be easy. We talked about the Louisa line back at some point.
2016.
What's that?
2016, I think, is when the Louisa line got brought up. It was before Albemarle.
No, Albemarle hasn't been, there hasn't been any contention with the county.
Correct.
Yeah. The problem is, the reason I suggest getting the Albemarle line first is because it's simple.
The easiest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was just saying that Louisa was brought up in 2016. I remember Mr. Woody coming to us and talking about that. So, yes, we do need to get those straightened out and figured out. Because when you're paying the taxes in one place and voting in another place, somebody's going to get aggravated.
The one that gives me some nightmares is people running for office.
Correct.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden finding out they don't live in Wright County.
The house is actually in Albemarle. You've got a problem.
We need to look into that one. All right.
So off the extent that there are legitimately homes that are in the wrong county?
They may be.
Yep. Well, we had one person that was kind of a concern, I think.
Yeah.
We've had more than one person. Yeah, like I said, Mr. Woody was here back, I think, in 2016.
Well, but the point is, what I'm considering would not involve any legal change. It would simply be General Assembly established this line in 1777 and has remained the same all the time. Here is the most accurate representation of it, and both counties agree on it.
And that's what has to happen. Both counties have to agree on what that
one is. That's not, doesn't have to happen that way, but I'd like to have it happen because it's the easiest
way. Right. All right.
I have one more question, Jim.
Yes, ma'am.
Citizens who are viewing this meeting from their home, what do they see on their screen? They Zoomed?
What we had down at the bottom, remember the little block?
Yeah, that's what I was.
I apologize.
You never see everyone, so they don't know particularly who's speaking.
It goes on to who's speaking usually.
Yeah,
do they?
When you speak, it moves to you.
Yeah.
See you in the middle?
I've had someone to say that they don't know sometimes who's speaking, and they never see everybody.
If you're listening to the audio, that's just, if you're just listening to the audio.
No. I think sometimes this does go away.
What's
doesn't
that?
It, the black part?
No, they should see a portion of the, again, they're going to have the same type of screen that we have, so mm-hmm. they're going to see those that are in the meeting. So they'll see like this screen right here,
okay.
And as people, as different board members speak, it kind of, the owls adjust to and focus on that board member, and then again, they'll see the slide presentation that's on here though.
But when Moselle started talking, wasn't that black part just now not there?
But he had taken it off.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
They'll
still see that though.
Okay.
Yeah, all I'm doing is I'm just hiding the video controls on this side so those that are in here can see that. But those at home can still see what's this
okay.
this kind of window. The what do you call it? The Hollywood Squares.
Okay.
Well, and I think like for example, you just said okay, it didn't switch to you. If you say like one word.
Oh, it did.
It did because then you laughed.
Oh, okay. Right. It's not. Yeah. And then the sound. I mean.
These are just, I don't think, are these new for us from now on?
Yeah,
or
I mean, we're trying to go for wireless to try and have an easy transition of take-up, set-down,
mm-hmm.
And so first day using them, we're working out the kinks.
That's fine. Nope, I'm not complaining. I'm just making sure we recognize
them. You can always do the little wireless things that we put on, too.
Oh, heck no.
Yeah, we could. We've,
those scare me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll leave with it.
All right, folks. I will now open up the second round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board, please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this time? No hands raised, Ms. Harris?
No, sir.
Seeing none, I will now close the second round of public comment. Mr. O'Brien.
Chair, I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A7 of the Code of Virginia 1915, as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, county attorney services, litigation, actual litigation in connection with the Zions Crossroad Water and Sewer Project.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We are now in closed session.
Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Savannah County Board of Supervisors convening in an open session. Be resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, one only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Mr. Fairchild?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We're now at a closed session.
Motion
we did take care. The. Got one other thing we got to do. We got an Eagle Scout presentation on April 24th at 2 o'clock at St. Peter's and Paul, the Catholic Church. Anybody want to do that?
That's Sunday?
A fairly good. That's this Sunday. It's a fairly good bet I'm in a behind the wheel car.
It's my birthday weekend, so I'm going to pass. So.
Anybody?
I will definitely be out of town.
You want to do it? Huh?
I will definitely be out of town.
Okay. You want to do it, Ms. Seeger?
Will you be there?
I will not.
He's going to be out of town.
Okay.
I can go by there with the behind the wheel guy and say, y'all sit out in the car for a second.
It's always a nice thing.
Hey, it's a really good thing. If you ever done it, you need to do it one time when you're in town.
Oh,
take this and to read it to
them. Just the whole ceremony that they do for Eagle Scout.
It is really cool, bud. And they do them when both of them are right near your house. Yeah. Catholic Church and Lake Christian.
Yeah, I would love to do it.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Now, Mr. O'Brien.
Mr. Chair, motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, second by Ms. Booker. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.